to say anything at all about what the Liechtenstein stood for intellectually, as a Marbitz Torah, as a Gadol. As an intellectual figure, as a Marbitz Torah, as a leader, is impossible in a few brief moments. I limit myself to very personal things and rely on what I've written elsewhere, what I've spoken about elsewhere. Very much aware of the burden of not being maspid kahalacha, and I don't want to make claims beyond what I can deliver in a few minutes. We'll speak very much in terms of personal experience. I came to yeshiva over 45 years ago. One of the most urgent questions in my mind was whether traditional Judaism is capacious enough to accommodate all human wisdom. In a Liechtenstein shir, I got the answer to that question. When I came to yeshiva, one of my greatest fears was the concentration and intellectual brilliance and erudition leads to narrowness, self-centeredness, smugness, gaiva. In a Liechtenstein shir, I learned the truth. There is no more powerful motive for humility, for honesty, for excellence in midot, then commitment to Torah Lishma, total commitment to Torah Lishma, while pursuing wisdom wherever it's found, as long as that wisdom is conjoined with and subservient to genuine Yirat Shemayim. Day after day, I saw this in Shir. I saw it in a liberal arts class that Rebbe gave occasionally in college, and outside of the classroom. I saw it every day. I saw the Mishnah come alive. Kol shirat cheto kodemet l'chokhmato, chokhmato mitkayemet, and eventually it sank in. He hooked me. Almost everybody speaks about Rav Liechtenstein's relentless attention to the complexity of human affairs. Nothing can be simple, and I will not disagree with that assessment. I learned from Rebbe something else. That painstaking analysis does not have to lead to paralysis. To the contrary, if you really hold fast to the primacy of Yirat Shamayim, Avodat Hashem, and you keep the right priorities steadily in mind, and that may require a degree of complex analysis. If you keep the priorities in mind, many crucial life decisions become easier rather than harder. I once confessed to Rav Liechtenstein various doubts about my potential as a mechanich. Almost 2 hours later, after a fairly thorough and somewhat frank exploration of my strengths and potential limitations. The one that I will repeat is that I can't, given what Roy Miller just said, he believed with good reason that I'm by nature a very shy person and that I had to overcome that. And believe me, I took that seriously. I tried my best. But after these 2 hours, he had induced me to overcome these hesitations. But then he pointed out there are other impediments that had nothing to do with my character, with other things, other problems that come up. And I said, Rebbe, how can I handle this? How can I survive? What can I do about this? And he answered, and I'm quoting virtually word for word, Shalom, either you have bitachon or you don't. Sometimes it takes 2 very intense hours to reach a very simple conclusion, a tmimistic conclusion, and the ability not only to make things complicated, but to cut to the bone and clarify what has to be simple can help a Talmud make a decision that gives total direction to their lives. Earlier in my time at Yeshiva, I came to another decision. I made my commitment to orthodoxy, to Yirat Shamayim, to religious truth. It was not a foregone conclusion. And at that time, I even thought that by making that decision, I'm making a choice for truth over happiness. Rav Lichtenstein is a person who valued truth. Oh, did he value truth? And he made no secret to the fact that spiritual growth is impossible without Yisurim. Nevertheless, he thought that I was drawing the contrast between avoda lishma and having a happy life more starkly than was necessary. For him, the predominant mood of avodat Hashem ought to be an inexhaustible sense of joy, a sense of fulfillment, accomplishment. And he did his best to convince me that he was right. Eventually, he prevailed in that debate. Not by power of argument, but through the example of his life. You watch a man grow. He's already an Adam Gadol. He's already somebody who is so far above almost everybody. But you see that person continue to grow. Decade after decade. You see him echayim al chayim from greatness to greatness. It's the same person. But somehow he is by year, he's somehow the same person but greater. You see a human being like that over a long period of time, how is it possible to see that and not to want to be as much like such a person as you can? But 20 years ago, I witnessed a private conversation between Rav Lichtenstein and his Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. In Az Nidberu, Yirei Hashem, Yishore'ehu. I can't describe beauty and the joy that emanated from these two golem. One, in the full magnificence of his power. The other was fighting inch by inch against the diminution of his powers. I thought of Tennyson's line, "One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will." After a minute or two, I looked away. Shnaim shiyoshvim, yesh beinem divrei Torah, shchina beinehem. I felt that, and it seemed improper to intrude anymore on the intimacy of their glory. But the sheer radiance of those few moments will accompany me forever. When I began teaching, Rav Lichtenstein offered me his father's formula for teaching. It was mentioned that Lichtenstein's Kibbur Av was something, if you didn't see it, literally, we exaggerate the word incredible or unbelievable today, but literally, if you didn't see it, you would not believe it. And he liked to refer to him in other contexts as well. And his father's idea was, set high standards and then be tolerant of what you get. This represents Rebbe's approach fairly well. He challenged us. He wanted us to aspire to religious, ethical, intellectual excellence. He persisted, often subtly, with enormous gentleness and tact, like Aaron Cohen that Rav Kahn referred to. Occasionally, when he had to, he could be a little more blunt, but always with love. He persisted, supportive of us, even when he found room for improvements. Yesterday morning, when I got the first phone call, my first reaction was, there's nobody left who understands what I want out of my life and who also can tell me what I ought to want out of my life. You know, people can give you one. Rarely there people can give you a second. Yesheba dad v'yidom kinatal olav. Chazal say, tzedikim af mitatam kruim chayim. The tzaddik can reach out. Point. We can no longer speak. It can still communicate. 24 hours later, I realize Rav Lichtenstein's promptings will not be stilled. As long as I'm alive, his voice always tempt me, lead me forward, and direct me to do the best that I can with my abilities. Rabbi Rabotai, turning to members of our learning family, Beit Midrash, we're orphaned, but we're not abandoned. Ki avivi imi azavuni. And even our rebbeim leave us, as they saying, we have done whatever we could do for you. We've done everything we could for you. And now you have to work for what we gave you. Rebbe's goal was never to have us circle around him in orbit. It was all but directing our attention to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It was all about Avodat Hashem. And we have no choice. The only way that we can live and the only way that we can continue to be Talmidim is to follow that path. If you heard Rav Aaron's summons, the passion of Torah Lishma, wisdom, the service of our fellow B'nai Torah, service of Klal Yisrael, concern for humanity, if you heard this call, it will continue to reverberate. Yei Ratzon that our fellowship of Talmidim with the inspiration of our now absent teacher with deliberate steps and slow will make our way through the world and together meet the challenges, the opportunities of the future. One equal temper of heroic hearts to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Tein afshos rabbis v'chaim.